This is the order of battle!
Thanks for joining the Order of Battle podcast for another episode. Joel, Jason, and Sometimes A discuss collecting G.I. Joe, other 1/18 scale action figures, and in general, what sparks joy. It's a lot of things, but almost always toys. This is the Order of Battle podcast.
Welcome to the myopic, if it ain't 4 inch, it ain't my scale. You know, Joel, you made a big decision a couple months ago and you got rid of all your extras. And then you show up at Kentuckiana swinging the big stick.
Yeah, I said farewell to Classified. As I'm sure anybody who's listened to me talk and try to sound positive, I have not particularly enjoyed Classified as a scale, mainly. I mean, obviously, it's had its growing pains and hiccups, a lot of stuff out of the team's hands with worldwide delays and everything else. But it's, I mean, I also have been struggling with some of the design choices. And this is me speaking as a fan and a customer, not as an expert on anything. And I just decided after Joe Fest, I just needed to stop. So, yes, I sold my entire Classified collection with the exception of a couple of Red Ninjas. I just got Night Creepers in and I kept those. I kept the Vamp with no clutch and I kept one of the retro carded version 1 Snake Eye.
Wow. So you're not stumping for another 6-inch brand though. You're just walking away from the 6-inch scale completely.
I mean, so I kept the Vamp specifically to pair with the Mezco Joes. I have never opened a Mezco Joe. But I have seen them. I've seen yours. For the most part, I love what Mezco does with things. It doesn't mean I love everything that they do, but I think that buying the 6-inch Mezco Joes at the pace that they come out is about the limit of what I can do for 6-inch G.I. Joe or 6-inch pretty much anything.
So pre-order one a year, get them once every 3 years.
Yeah. Well, no, it's more like pre-order 3 a year and then get 2 every 2 to 3 years, yes. But I think that the Mezco guys with the soft goods will display really well in a glass case. And I think the Vamp will be a cool back piece for that. And I do think the Vamp is awesome. I think the Vamp is probably one of my favorite things they've done. And I mean, it was a hard decision to keep because the Vamps are selling for a lot of money.
Yeah.
A lot of money. So, but I like that's, I mean, just to say, like, I do actually think the Vamp is awesome. And to be honest, if Mezco put out a vehicle for the G.I. Joe, I probably couldn't afford it. So I probably wouldn't buy it.
Fair enough. Did you keep your Hiss tank?
No, the Hiss is gone.
Wow. Okay.
I never opened the Hiss. And that was also a telling sign that it was like, if you couldn't be bothered to open up the Hiss tank, you know. And I'm glad I never did because when I sold off all the duplicates a few months ago, I knew that when it came time to sell the Joes, I would need the Hiss tank as like the high dollar item.
Especially if you're keeping the Vamp.
Yes. So, and I mean, I had an open Serpentor who still fetches a decent dollar. My Mindbender was never opened, so that was good. You know, I opened up the Zartan just to put him in the freezer. I never pulled anything out of the trays. And when I was going through and like, you know, prepping the collection to sell, I was like, that was really stupid. You should have just left it in the box. But whatever, you know, I really don't normally buy things with the intentions of selling. So it was, you know, that's not usually what I think about, with the exception of the Hiss tank. I knew when the Hiss tank came in, I was in a weird spot with the Classified line. And I was like, I also didn't really have a place to put it. So I kind of was in like, is it worth it to open this giant tank, put it together, and then hope I can pull it back apart and put it back in the box? I'll just leave it alone. But I mean, I'm happy for anybody that is getting that excitement and joy from Classified.
We still are, yeah.
For me, it was just kind of when I was dreading the bank charges and like, you know, they're on top of it. So it's not crazy now. You know, we get a wave every few months. It's not that bad. I mean, yes, buying 5 standard figures at $25 a piece. And then if there's like a ferret or whatever other, you know, Yeah, it adds up fast, but it's manageable when they're shipping the way that other toy lines ship instead of, you know, a year and 3 weeks. But I just needed to do it. I needed to be realistic, you know, and I it was kind of a thing where I kind of felt like, well, G.I. Joe is my thing, so I better, like, I have to buy what's coming out. You know, I almost bought in on the Super 7 Ultimates, and they're great-looking figures, but I don't need them.
And they're twice the expense of a classified.
And they're twice the price of a classified figure. And, you know, I did a couple of the 3-0, 12-inch, and to be honest, if the weapons were scaled better, I probably would have stayed in, and I'm glad that the first two kind of fell short because it's an expensive line. But, you know, Mezco is kind of the sweet spot for me. And I know I'm like talking about this and Mezco figures average around $100, but
their resale is awful, which is sad. But we knew that when we got in and Mezco had amazing resale and then immediately fell off the damn deep end. No, I'm glad you were able to, you know, cut away this part of your collection and it made you feel better and it gave you the space for more of what you love. You know, I still very much enjoy classified. A is still very much into 6-inch, especially with some of these extra brands that are coming out like Monster Force and Savage Crucibles. For us, some Black Series and all of classified still makes a lot of sense. For you, it hasn't made sense in years, and it's good that you have decided to pivot.
Realistically, I will cherry pick.
Of course. But that's not the same thing, right?
Yes.
That's why I started this with the if it ain't Heinz, it ain't ketchup joke. I know you're going to cherry pick. I know you're still going to get some classified. But being able to separate yourself from a scale that wasn't giving you joy so that you could continue to focus on the scale that is, I think that's a very healthy mentality and a healthy thing to do. It's a positive as a collector and in our community. And even as you're talking, you're not shitting on anything. You're just saying, like, not for me, which is healthy.
When I sold the big duplicate collection, it felt awesome. And it was like a huge, like, weight lifted off my shoulders. And then the big thing for me, and it's just opening stuff. Like, I buy to open. So I don't buy to keep carded. So if I'm not opening anything that comes in, it's a weird sign. And, yeah. And the Mezco stuff, I will say, I am waiting to figure out, you know, one of the IKEA glass shelves for all of my figures that have soft goods. Not just for Mezco, but like anything that I don't want, like, you know, a 4-inch figure or even a 6-inch figure that is just plastic. If it gets dusty, you can just wash it off. But I'm not about to, like, hand wash the soft goods on a Mezco figure.
That's fair. And also, you know, you're talking about 140 classified in 6 Mezco.
Yes, very true.
5 of which have landed. Duke still hasn't. And, 7 because there was the new Snake Eyes.
Yes, which I did get.
Okay, so 7 Mezco. Speaking of Mezco, when we were at Kentuckiana, Chris, who I've made no secret about, he is my acrylic man. And not just mine, he's the acrylic guy for a lot of us. I had asked him to build custom cases for my Mezco because he didn't have that size as part of his normal stock. So maybe this will become part of his normal stock. I don't know if anybody would ever order this size, but I ordered a case that is 10 inches tall and there's still plenty of head space. So I could also use the clear hook if I wanted to put like a jumping pose. So 10 inches tall, plenty of space. But the square around it fits the Mezco base. I have all 5 of my G.I. Joe Mezco in these cases. They look phenomenal. And I will be getting more cases from him maybe January so that I can put the next 2 Mezcos in there, my Hellboy in there, maybe a couple Gomez. But I am very excited about these Mezco cases. And as someone who has been talking about sticking with Mezco and enjoying the soft goods, but not the dust, they might be an option for you as well. Now, I'm not going to say they're cheap, but it's custom cut acrylic. So
any display case is expensive, and especially when you add in the custom element. So I know you got those cases, and I know you got a super cool display case for some very special figures.
Yes.
Your design ideas with these acrylic cases, have always been very sharp. Like your Steel Brigade case kind of made some waves in our world, you know, like our friend world is what I'm saying. Not like, you know, whatever. Also getting to see that in your Roadblock case and some of the other acrylic cases you had made when I was down there before Joe Fest was awesome because they look great in photos, but you know, it's hard to photograph like reflective clear plastic.
It is the one thing I don't like about acrylic is that we can't get reflection or, you know, glare proof, whatever. But yes, the Steel Brigade case was nice enough that I was honored to be able to put it in the D-Class booth one year at Joe Fest. And I think that's still my favorite case out of everything I've built or had built by Chris. But with that, the Roadblock, I have my test shot Shark, the Graffiti APC, and the Bridge of the Star Blazer. I have a handful of things. And yes, the big one I brought home from Kentuckiana this year, my Brazilian Sky Patrol. And it's all four with one of their Sky Patrol paperwork right in the middle of all of them. And I absolutely adore it. Now, it is in the same theme and feel as my Roadblock and my Steel Brigade. So I'm already starting to think about how I would design the next one to be a little different. But I'm already thinking about what's the next acrylic case going to look like.
If it ain't broke, don't fix it. I mean, the display setup that you've done for your like focus figures has always been very cool. It was a pleasant surprise to see when you unwrapped that the Sky Patrol, you know, the foreign Sky Patrol set. You know, you have the vintage world, especially, I mean, even domestic vintage. There are several figures that are getting so brittle and fragile with time. And then when you add in like Brazilian figures, you know, they weren't really made to the same standard as a figure sold in the US. Then when, if you enter the fun school realm, you're like really entering the danger zone. But
all bets are off.
So it's kind of like an interesting thing. And I know we've had this discussion years ago with Mint on Card collecting, because at a certain point, it's pretty much guaranteed that the O-ring will dissolve, or the bubble will yellow, or the, you know, the elbow will crack somehow on a figure that's never been bent by human hands after it was produced and put in the bubble. But I think Sky Patrol figures are not an easy collection to acquire, and there's four of them. You know, I think the right move is to get this nice display case where you can display them. You know, I know it would be a devastating day if, you know, the Flying Scorpion just happened to take a tassel untouched, fell over, and who knows if he would survive the fall, you know, even on a carpet.
He's still my favorite figure of pretty much all of G.I. Joe. The kitbashed body they put together, the paint scheme they used, the skin tone they used. I cannot love that figure more. The weapons, I really don't honestly even consider, because the figure itself is where it's at for me with that one. I do still need a second one of him, though.
The club did a great modern version of him.
Yes.
And I have acquired a few, just buying lots and stuff like that. And because I love the Cobra side of that box set. So it, you know, the Cobra Troop Builders of that box set. So is it, if I, you know, whatever.
We may have to figure something out.
When the club had a home run, they had a home run. One of the best things about the Collectors Club was, you know, them digging into foreign homages, even to the point where when they announced that they were doing a hit and run, the figure that they showed was leaning into a foreign version of hit and run that is cool, but, you know, ultimately they could have done a repaint and it would have done well, but we desperately needed the classic version of hit and run, which they ended up, you know, kind of walking back and doing. It's always been an interesting thing for me as a fan when I see a figure that I, or see a version of a figure and I'm just like, what the hell is that? And then, like, you know, there's 55 people in the comments and 20 of them are explaining that it's a really cool foreign homage and 25 people are being like, this isn't the figure I know. You know, that was really a really nice thing when I was lurking and getting deeper into Joe. You know, it was kind of a nice thing to balance out a lot of the craziness around a lot of the club stuff and how mad people got all the time. You know, like Gaucho, people were mad because they didn't know who he was. And then it's just like, it's cool to have that version of Gung Ho you know, even though it's a different character, but it's like, it's cool to get that figure because we should never have gotten that figure in the States, you know, whether it's O-ring or modern.
That figure has gotten very expensive lately.
The O-ring?
The O-ring Gaucho, which is why I don't have one, because I think the colorway is cool as hell. I've had my days where I didn't want to touch foreign and I hated foreign because of one reason or another. And I've also had my days where I would sell everything domestic to have a whole run of one country because foreign is gorgeous and beautiful. I've kind of made my peace with doing a little here and there, a little here and there. The Sky Patrol was, you probably remember, Alexander was interested in, and I already loved it, so I went, hell yeah, let's go.
Well, we actually did it at the same time. I did the modern club version at the same time that you were hunting down the Brazilian version.
That's right, and then we used it for the first time Order of Battle did Cobra Convergence.
That is very true. I forgot about, well, I didn't forget, but I forgot that that was.
Yeah, and that's when Danny came and joined us.
Yes.
And helped us with our pronunciations, which I'm still not good at. Sorry, Danny.
So what else did you get at Kentuckiana?
But yeah, we can jump straight back into Kentuckiana. Nothing. This show was, it was a bit odd, right? Normally, we have for Kentuckiana in the summer, we have a couple booths. We're set up next to Ace All Good on the hotel side of the floor. We all show up. We bang out the booth. We go shop around. We have a good time, conversate, whatever. The weather is always interesting. This year, the weather was perfect. I mean, perfect. But we were on the opposite side of the room with a few booths. And then on the other side of the load-in bay, we had a table where there were some auctions going on. And we had Captain Power from Captain Power and the Soldiers of the Future and Davy Crockett and everything else. We had Tim Dunnigan. When we showed up and set everything up, the boys wanted to run the auction booth. So there was nothing for anyone else to do. A&N just ran it. And then with Tim, we were under the impression that his sister was going to help. And that Friday night, she was like, oh, I don't know what to do. We need you to help. So I'm like, okay, I'm going to be here to help. And then she just sat behind the booth and helped. So I spent the whole weekend kind of at the balance point between Tim's booth, the boys working the auction booth for when they needed help, and being nearby if Ryan or you or Todd needed help in the Destro's Toy Den booth. So I ended up not walking around that much, not talking to anybody during the show hours that much, but it also saved me a lot of money. So I didn't buy anything other than the acrylic that was already, you know, taken care of from Chris. And I gave some money to A to spend, which he bought a few things here or there. And it was fun. I had a blast. After the shows, we all sat on the front porch of the hotel because it was so gorgeous until like 3 a.m, which is crazy because Kentuckiana has not been a lobby con since we moved from the old hotel to the new building. So it's kind of a bring back to the old days, when there was an impromptu lobby swap on the front porch of the hotel, which turned into everybody getting a bit bullet until 3 a.m. So I didn't buy anything, but I still had a great weekend. I still had a very enjoyable weekend. And, you know, I got to chat with Greg and Jaren and with Matt and Casey. I got to chat with you and Nicole, but I just didn't get to run around and drop cash. But you, however, had a completely different experience.
I certainly spent enough cash for the both of us.
Hey, that was my goal. I was like, hey, Joel, can you drop dime for both people? Carry my weight.
You know, Kentuckiana is a special show for me, and I've definitely prioritized both the summer and the winter show because that's when I really the only time I get to kick it with Greg and Jaren. You know, it's an important for me to make that happen. And I, you know, I had set up a deal with Todd to purchase my remaining classified collection. And, you know, when I helped at Joe Fest, he had these two particular items that don't know why I decided I had to have. And it was, you know, I had talked to him a couple times about them and I had kind of really hoped they would maybe sell at Joe Fest so I would just forget about them. Ultimately, I'm glad they didn't because I worked it into my deal with Todd. And I got these two 18-inch transformers that don't transform.
Oh, you brought those home?
Yes.
He did not mention that to me. My guy.
So, yes, they are 18 inches. They're made by Toy Alliance.
They are not cheap.
They are not cheap, and they are sort of a thing that I'm not as much... I'm not a Transformers guy. I don't know a lot about the lore. I have basically almost no knowledge. I know a lot of character names just because of the world I live in. I've been loving the Energon Transformers book, and I remember when these figures were, when these figures first came out, it was probably 7-8 years ago, maybe. And it was in a time when I did not have a lot of extra money. I was collecting Joe, but I did not have a lot of, like, every purchase that I made had to be strategic. And these figures retailed for about $180 when they first came out. They're 18 inches tall. They're super articulated, and they are almost perfect to scale with 4-inch Joes. It literally looks like all the crossover comic covers I've ever seen, where you've got like Snake Eyes standing on the shoulder of Optimus Prime. Like, you can do that with these figures. The two I got, and I think there's only two, there might be a couple more, I don't know, but they are G1 style Optimus Prime and G1 style Megatron in bot mode. They're huge. I need to get some of those weird little batteries for them so I can have Megatron's gun light up and his eyes and Optimus's chest and eyes. And I worked it into the deal because I knew, you know, it's just like when I sold the other collection. Like, I was going to price it out for what it would get at retail. You know, I know I'm not going to get that when you're selling to a reseller. And, you know, I just wanted it gone. I wanted it gone in one shot. I didn't want to part it out. I didn't want to, you know. So I knew that if I worked out a deal with Todd that included me taking some, you know, store credit, which when I pitched the deal to him, I told him right up front that I was looking to add those two Transformers into the mix, because they're just something that I couldn't stop thinking about. They're so cool. They're so big. I've never seen them in real life. So that was kind of something I knew I was getting prior to the doors of the show. I was like, these are coming home with me. They're crazy. They're huge. They're a showstopper. I'm excited to eventually have, like, you know, the G.I. Joe crossover sets. Not the O-ring ones, but the San Diego ones with the 4-inch figures. I'm going to build a display, you know, around these two giant bots. Then I kind of, for the first time in a long time, actually had a list of what I wanted, which was a very short list. And I had decided, I don't know why, I think maybe coming off of building the plague, I did not have any of the club's laser vipers, and the club was the only way to get a modern laser viper.
And how many do you have now?
Well, we're going to talk about this in two segments. From the show floor, I wound up with 5.
Okay.
Which also, I want to just throw this into the conversation, that the laser vipers that I picked up and a club's FSS Battlecore Viper were two figures that I have never owned before, that I have seen in real life and picked up, usually bagged or carted.
Did you get them from Jimbo across from Todd?
No.
Okay, because I knew you got some stuff from him last January.
I'm going to hit pause, and I'm going to say this. I don't really count the deal with Todd as the first purchase of Kentuckiana, because nothing was purchased, you know what I mean? Like, anyways, my first purchase was from Jimbo, and he was about 75% set up. Destro's Toy Den was actually just got done set up. And I looked over, and he always brings awesome customs and awesome Dio stuff. And I see a little set of the Joy Toy Mech Depot style Dio stuff. So I go over, well, how much for that? He's like, well, I'm selling it with, if you look in front, there's a huge bin. And I look, and it is a full-size tote overflowing with pieces, like sets of these.
Oh, shit, really?
In my head, I'm like, okay, well, this is going to be like an insane purchase. And he threw a number at me that I will be right back. I have to get my cash into my car. And because I care so much about Greg, and he is a great friend, I sent him a picture, because as anybody who listens to anything Joe's knows, he's always on the hunt for Dio stuff. And I said, hey, you're never going to believe what I just purchased. And I sent them the picture, and he responded, all caps, no. basically, I was like, wait till I tell you what I paid for this and wait till you see how much stuff. And he was just like, he was being a good sport. You know, it is what it is. Now I had already decided that I was going to split this bin with Greg because there's a lot of Dio gear and I definitely could have used it all, but I like to share with my friends and I knew it would be a funny thing. So I basically...
Is he a friend though? He doesn't even come to Joe Fest.
So he was very interested in looking at the Megatron. As we all know, he hates everything that isn't G.I. Joe. But he, like me, wanted that 18-inch Megatron because, hey man, it's crazy. So I tell him, I told him to come to the room and I was like, you got to see this. And he came in and he looked over and I could see him looking at that bin. He was like, God dang it, man, you know? And I said, well, Greg, if you're nice and let me finish, I'd let you know that I'm trying to split this with you. And then he was like, why didn't you say so? but all jokes aside, it was awesome. We spent Friday night. I dumped this bin in the middle of the hotel room. There's a few sets of instructions in there. There's a lot of missing instructions. And we just sorted and looked at pictures online and tried to organize how many full sets were in there. And we split it up and it worked out really great. And
was this the Battle for the Stars sets?
Yes.
Okay. So I have several of those. Yes, you do. I don't like the floors, but once you get the floor stable, those sets are great.
For what we paid for these sets, it is amazing.
Excellent.
The next morning, Jimbo had priced all of his customs and his random 4-inch stuff, which, at Winterfest, that was pretty much my big purchase, was like a massive pile of figures from him. And then this year, I found a great deal on a handful of club figures. Like I said, I got the Laser Vipers, and I have a part two to the Laser Vipers that I'll close out my rambling with. But I also finally pulled the trigger on a Cotswold custom 12-inch Joe.
I saw that. I was excited about that.
And it's one of those things where every year, the adventure team kind of like took over my brain for a few years. I've always thought that, the Atomic Man, Mike Powers, was like an incredible idea that I really wish we would have got a 4-inch figure. So I just decided after chatting with the owner of Cotswold for a while, I said, I'm just going to do it. Bought the outfit. I built the figure. I did go with a flocked head instead of the vinyl head.
Perfect. Perfect.
And the other thing is I'm probably going to need to build just a classic adventure to go with him, but
with that, did you buy his bootleg body and his custom heads?
Yes.
Okay. So those are great bodies, and those are great heads. So flocked head, did you get the beard?
No, I went no beard, flocked head.
What Jim Beard called them in his DC Jones book was the beardless ones?
Yes. And I grabbed his custom hand copter, a crate, and then I walked over to Matt Squash's booth and I bought, he had like a bag with what I assume is some just old 12-inch G.I. Joe fodder that was just thrown in a bag and, pieced together for a couple bucks. And then I bought a custom gun and a flashlight and, some other random stuff so I could have a little geared up Atomic Man.
That's awesome.
I was very happy that I finally did it because I...
And that you did it between both Greg and Matt's booths, because both of them put out some great gear and equipment and things. So you're really cherry picking exactly how you want it to look and feel.
Yeah, and it's kind of one of those things where when I envision my future display, I think I now have 3 12-inch Joes, one from the club, one of the like Hasbro reissue. I got the Black Spider Rendezvous guy from the mid-2000s, but also at Cotswold's booth, he was finally able to work out a deal with the World Peacekeepers because once Big Lots stopped selling them, they opened up the doors to selling to smaller retailers, and he had 3 of the A-10 Thunderbolt planes.
Those things are enormous.
They're enormous, and they're beautiful, and they sell for an absurd amount of money on eBay, and he had a missile truck that was really cool, and he had a couple of the cool helicopters. And I kind of talked myself out of buying the jet because I was like, just get the 12-inch figure. This will be the 4th time that you've stood and looked at these figures and then like talked yourself out of spending, whatever, the 50, 60 bucks to fully kit out this figure. Like, it's totally reasonable. Just do it. So I do it. And then we're standing there and I'm chatting with him a little bit. And then a fella comes up and he had three of these jets and a fella came up and bought two. And I said, you know, while you're reaching up, just grab the third one. Like, I'll just take it right now.
You had that FOMO moment.
Yeah. And I mean, that's a jet that I have wanted for years. It's one of the best World Peacekeepers jets they've ever done. It comes with a ladder. It comes with cool Dio stuff. And I know it's like funny to be like, oh, it comes with a ladder, but like, we don't get ladders. So it's kind of like an important piece for a pilot to get into the jet.
Absolutely.
To end my rambling, friend of the show, James Cavanaugh, was not able to attend Summerfest. And I miss seeing him and hanging out at the booth and spending money with James. So I had hit him up and essentially was like, hey, man, I'm going to be passing through Dayton. You know, if you've got a few minutes, we should link up. And, you know, if you have any of these Laser Vipers or Laser Viper officer with Sky Serpent, I would like to work out a deal with you. Let me know. So he went and dug them out and we landed on the deal. And I ended up grabbing two of the Laser Viper Officer and Sky Serpent set, which was the Renegades Black Dragon VTOL repainted in blue and red. I love that vehicle. I have a lot of the Renegades version. Like, I have a lot of those. And I never bought this one because they used to sit at a really high price point, and it was just kind of hard for me to justify it with how many of the black and red versions I have. Prices come down a bit. And well, once I decided I needed Laser Vipers, I obviously need the officer. And then I grabbed eight more Laser Vipers from James.
So 13 Laser Vipers, two officers.
Yes, 13 Laser Vipers, two officers.
Just a small trip to Kentucky and Ohio.
So, you know, if I come across another three pack and, you know, that'll put me at 16 Laser Vipers, which is an even number and it breaks down a little bit better.
Then you're just going to need two more officers.
I think I'll stick with the two officers. I mean, James did have one more officer in Sky Serpents, so I might end up with one more. I legitimately love that vehicle. I think it's super sharp and it's a funny one for me because I remember getting it for the first time, buying it used off eBay for a great deal. And I was like super excited. You know, it came in and I'm going over it. And that vehicle comes with an odd number of missiles. Doesn't make sense because it has two bomb doors that when you push a button, the bomb doors fly open and it just drops the missiles.
Okay.
Two bomb doors. So you'd think it would come with equal amount of bombs. You know, when I got my first one and I laid everything out and I was putting it together, I was like, well, this is clearly missing a missile. And then I went to Yojo and then I went to generalsjoes.com to confirm. No, it just came with an odd number of missiles.
So that was a choice.
So in a weird way, I kind of like the vehicle because it's kind of an asshole thing to do to give you a vehicle with two bomb doors and an odd number of missiles or bombs or whatever. I guess I don't know the difference. We would need, you know, Gary to explain that to us. But I love the vehicle either way. And I think the Laser Viper is a very rock solid figure. I do wish that they would have done something different with the helmet, just slightly modernized it. But they did the club thing where they just retooled the original. And then later, I think the next year maybe or later that year, they ended up, I don't remember this detail, so forgive me, but they ended up retooling the vintage backpacks. And same thing with that. I just wish that they would have added a little bit of modern flair to it. And the hoses they gave are kind of a little too short. But I know that I can buy, you know, I can buy the classic G.I. Joe hose, buy the bundle, and cut my own. So overall, it was nice to kind of go to a show and just kind of go crazy again.
Yeah, you bombed out, man.
I will say that when I got home and counted my money, I was like, damn, I went a little too crazy.
Well, you had to take up my slack, so I appreciate that.
Yeah. My grand plans for the money from selling off my classified are about cut in half. I didn't spend that much more than I wanted to, but like, I definitely cut into that collection money that I was going to use to pay some stuff off a little bit more than I wanted to, but it's okay because you got to buy when you see it, you know?
Sure.
And especially, I like, the price of the laser vipers have essentially cut in half from what they did like 3 years ago. 3 years ago, I wanted them, but wouldn't buy them because they were too expensive.
So they've definitely dropped if you got 13 in a day.
Yeah. Yeah. That was, you know, that was a choice that I made, and I don't regret it.
So since we're talking about Kentuckiana, this year you decided to actually show up to Gaddy's instead of next door at Dairy Queen. And then all of us went to El Nepal, and I really enjoy, as much hell as I give Gaddy's, I really enjoy these big gatherings that we're now doing in conjunction with Kentuckiana. That might be something that we should think about for Joe Fest, but Joe Fest is so huge. There's so many people, and it has that nice two-story lobby that it may not be necessary. But at least for Kentuckiana, it is a lovely thing that Friday afternoon, right before load in, we all get together. And yes, it's Gaddy's, but we're all together in one room. We're having a good time. We're telling jokes. We're laughing. We're picking on each other. I mean, the jokes started immediately. El Nepal is rammed. It's, you know, 60 some odd people. It's people are sitting outside of the group because they can't get a chair inside. There's lots of food and drink and jokes.
I do want to jump in and say that we have given Gaddy's a hard time, but I do really appreciate Todd making the effort to set up both Gaddy's and El Nepal. And I will say a massive shout out to El Nepal. Not that they'll hear this, but Todd called and reserved the room and they were prepped. They were as prepped as they can be for 60 something people all ordering at the same time. You know, we were there for a while. The wait was not crazy. It was better than last year for sure.
Way better than last year at the Fish House. Holy crap.
Well, so I'm talking last year at El Nepal, so last summer fest, because this winter fest, El Nepal had a birthday party, so we were shit out of luck. But I do sincerely want to say, like, yes, I do not particularly enjoy the food at Gaddy's, and I did eat this year, but I do legitimately appreciate Todd organizing the event and calling and making sure that we have a place to like hang out and shoot the shit and kind of pregame and postgame food wise, not booze wise for some of us. Some of us, I don't think they serve booze at Gaddy's, thank God, but that seems like a recipe for disaster. But
it's an excellent back room for all of us to gather in. And I'm really glad we do it. And yes, like you just said, it's really awesome that this is something that Todd has taken ownership of and is planning every year. And it's getting bigger and more fun. And I almost said funner because evidently I'm an animal. But Kentuckiana continues to be a special show to Destro's Toy Den, to Order of Battle, and to everyone else.
I also do think it's worth mentioning that they extended the sales floor was now two rooms.
Oh yeah, that's true.
They were completely sold out. It was awesome. I mean, it was weird because I'm going to say something that does not make sense with everything I just said. But when I did my first lap around the floor, you know, after setup, but before doors, I kind of was like, damn, this is going to be a light year for me. There really ain't shit here for me. Now, I have said that before and that has been the case, but it. I just want to say that, yes, I understand, you know, I just literally talked about how I overspent and I overdid it. But the thing is, you know, I dug around, Jimbo, I don't know how he finds the time to customize because every year it's like a bin filled with more and more customs. And there's been a couple things that since I haven't been on in a while, that we didn't, or we haven't been able to record in a while. Well, they're on pre-order. Hiya Toys did have some Ninja Turtles coming that are 1/18 scale, and they look really cool digitally. I have not seen them in real life. They were not the cheapest thing, but I went in because I was like, this might be my only chance to get 1/18 scale Ninja Turtles. I don't know what media they're based off from. They look kind of like a little bit off the Bayverse versus not the Bayverse. Either way, they look cool. And in the pile of customs I got from Jimbo, I got a Casey Jones. It was a very interesting assortment that I wound up with, which is generally what it comes down to when I buy his customs. But I think that Kentucky is becoming, I say this every time, but it's, if it's a show that you're on the fence about, it's definitely worth going. We are kind of creating our own lobby hang. Like you just said, people hung out outside because the weather was nice. Obviously, in January, outside is not really an option. You know, Todd is, you know, again, I just want to say, like, it is awesome that Todd does this, because if he didn't do it, you know, it wouldn't happen.
All right, calm down just in case he hears this. We don't want him to.
So, you know, it's, I just want to say that, you know, in a very serious tone, like, Kentucky Summerfest, Kentuckiana, the summer show and the winter show, but specifically the summer show, is starting to pick up some serious steam. I mean, we've got, it's two rooms now. The floor is great. I mean, it was a great time. I saw a lot of money going. I saw a lot of toys getting paid for. If it's something you're on the fence about, I would say make the trip. It's absolutely worth it. It's a quick preview night, one day show. It's awesome.
You know, for me, this summer has been very fast. I was at Heroes Con, and then 2 days after getting home, I was at Joe Fest. And Joe Fest was incredible this year. It was genuinely incredible this year. And then 2 days later, I went into Canada for 10 days. And I was home for a week and a half, and then Kentuckiana. So I don't know about you, but my next show, I think, is in September. And that will be Joe-lanta, which I think earlier in this year, was not intending to attend. That's a great sentence for you. But things have changed. So Todd and I are going to go down in September for Joe-lanta. I don't know when your next show is. Probably AR.
I'm hoping to try to make Xenia for a couple reasons.
Unfortunately, I'm not going to make Xenia. That'll be a you and Todd situation. I think Ryan is going to. So you, Todd, and Ryan situation, but I won't be there for that one, sadly.
I mean, I that does stink. I feel like I have to make it to the show at least once. I mean, it's seven buildings.
It's big. It's a buying show. The show itself is not a hangout show. It is a purchasing extravaganza show. Xenia and Kane are both like that. Toyman is like that. Those are buy shows.
Fingers crossed. I have some loose plans to go. I'm going to try to organize with a buddy of mine that lives in Columbus to go to the show with me. So we will see.
See how many more Laser Vipers Cav has since you're going to be back in his neck of the woods.
Well, I cleared out the Laser Viper, so it would just be that last Laser Viper officer and Skyser. But yeah, I AR is absolutely happening. So if I can't make Xenia, then AR is my next show. So, you know, hopefully we will get some more news on that soon. And it'd be great to have Brian back on and to chat about AR. So
always great to have Brian on. And yeah, I think Adam's already picked up the room for he and I at AR. So that is on my list. It will happen.
Let's end it here. Thanks again for spending time with us discussing toys and other geeky things. Our logo was made by Rhino. The music we use was created by Self Help. You can find Joel on Instagram at Order of Battle Pod. Jason is on Twitter at Order of Battle PD. Our email is orderofbattlepod@gmail.com. We'd love to hear from you, and thank you for your likes, comments, outreaches, and just being here with us.
I don't really know what they're... Hold on. Ah! Got a crazy Charlie horse in my leg. Oh. Oh my God.
I'm leaving this in.
I'm getting old. Oh my God. All right. Woo. That was crazy. Nope, it's still there. I can't bend my leg. This has been the Order of Battle.